This is a life-transforming message from Life by Design Ministries in Denver, Colorado. And now let's join the founder and senior pastor, Pastor Peter Taft.
God, in the name of Jesus, God, we just surrender. We surrender, God, to your presence. We surrender to the name of Jesus. God, we ask that you will bless us, God, inside of your word. Let your word come like it's never come before. Let us hear like we never heard before. God, let it be mixed with faith, God. Oh, God, let there be clarity of sight like never before. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for what your word is doing right now. Let it swell us, that every yoke on us will be broken off. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and we give you glory. And we thank you for salvation and entrance into the kingdom. In Jesus' name, we pray. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give the Lord another hand amen. Praise. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. While you're seated, lift your Bible. Lift your Bible. And I want you to say this after me. Say, this is my Bible. Well, hold on. Let me let you find your Bible. Amen. Find your Bible. Amen. Hold your Bible up. Get the word of God. If you need one, elevate your hands. The ushers will bring you one. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hey, it's where your promises lie. Glory be to God. Everybody say, this is where my victory is.
This is where my victory mm-hmm. is.
Now say this with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am.
Who it says I am.
I can do. What it says I can do. I am a believer
and not a doubter.
I am a doer
and not a hearer.
And my life is the better after hearing the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Give God some praise on that. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Title of today's message. The title of today's message, last Sunday, we talked about release. Everybody say release.
Release.
Say it again, release.
Release.
Wasn't that an awesome service, amen?
Amen?
Did not God meet us at the point of release?
Amen.
Come on, give God some praise on that right now. If you weren't here, you can get a CD. Glory be to God. But the presence of God just fell in the house just at the very mention of the word release.
Amen.
But release has a partner. I said the release have a partner.
Right.
And the release's partner is embrace.
Amen.
So the title of today's message is simply embrace. Say that with me, embrace.
Embrace.
Look at somebody and say again, embrace.
Embrace.
Never release without having focus on what you're going to embrace.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, 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 okay. Okay. Yeah, this is good. I know I got the right word. I know I got the right word. Yeah, yeah. No, because, see, a lot of times we want to put off stuff,
amen.
But we never plan what we're going to replace it with.
Oh, that's good.
So a lot of times I'm going to pay this credit card off, but you didn't have a wealth strategy. And so what happened was it sat empty for a couple of months.
Right.
Amen.
And since it was just sitting there.
Oh, yeah.
Doing nothing.
No.
I wish I had some help up in here.
Yeah.
And since you didn't have a plan. Amen. It got recharged right all the way back up.
Right.
Now, how many ever did that before? I paid it off, but I didn't have a plan,
right.
So I charged it back up. Because you didn't embrace. You had no vision to embrace. So the title of today's message is Embrace, and the subtitle is Catch the Vision. Say that with me, catch the vision. Three kingdom points here that we're going to share together as we walk briefly through the word of God. It's that the first one is release and embrace. And I want to dive deep into that principle so you understand, first of all, that it is a kingdom principle. And it will impact your life if you do not understand it and appropriate it correctly in your life. So release and embrace, kingdom point number one. Kingdom point number two, restraint, the vision seatbelt. Vision has a seatbelt. Amen. Glory be to God. And we're going to deal with that on the restraint. Amen. And kingdom point number three is redemptive revelation, which is what vision is. Everybody say redemptive revelation. Say it again with me. Redemptive revelation. Glory be to God. And we want to get into that as our month. We're going to be talking about clarity of vision, which is the word on the house, and getting clear about God's vision for this house. But before we do that, we must understand what vision is.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Vision is not your fantasy. Yeah. Glory be to God. All right, hit you too strong. All right, let me see, because this is the year that I want to be out of faith fantasies. You might not have ever heard that. Everybody say faith fantasies. No, I want everything that I'm believing for to be based upon the word of God. Because he said, I watch over my word to perform that. Yeah. Throw your hands up and say, no more disappointments. Amen. This life. All right. Watch it. So again, welcome to first Sunday of 2020. Glory be to God. Here's our key verse. Our key verse is coming out of Luke 1:45. All of these are in your notes, so you can refer to your notes on this. Luke 1:45. And it's a very powerful set of scripture as Elizabeth is talking to Mary. Mary has come to Elizabeth's house. When she gets there and greets Elizabeth, amen, the baby that's in Elizabeth's womb, which is John the Baptist, and he's about 6 months old now in the womb, he leaps at the sound of her voice. Well, he leaps at the sound of her voice because inside of her, amen, is Christ. I wish I had some help, amen. Glory be to God. So he recognizes the presence of God, yet right in, while in the womb. I wish I had a little help. Glory be to God. So Elizabeth is talking now, and she's talking to Mary, amen, and greeting her and speaking into her life. And she says this in verse 45. Blessed is she. You can take the she and put your name in there. Blessed is she that believe.
Amen.
Oh, good God. Everybody say, I'm blessed.
When I believe.
When I believe.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, say, this year.
I'm
going to work on my faith.
I
ain't going to work on my backbiter. I ain't going to work on my hater. That ain't going to do me nothing. I'm going to work on my faith. I'm going to work on believing God like no other time. See, my faith got to be working when there's a storm in my life. How many has that fair weather faith? Are you cool long as everything's going wonderful? Saved, sanctified, filled, blessed and highly favored in the sunshine. But the moment trouble comes, your faith ain't holding up. Tell you never said, take your faith to the gym. Go work that out. Because I learned in my journey that God does not have to bend everything to my comfort.
That's right.
And I learned in my journey that my frustration with him does not dethrone him from being God.
Amen.
He stays God anyway. And since he's God, he has the ability, and he often does, remind me that he is God. He said, I am God, and I'm bigger than you. Now, when you make a planet, you can tell me how to do it. But why you on mine?
Well,
yeah. Blessed is she that believe. Watch this now. My God, I could barely get the words out. Oh, yeah, hey, anybody peeped ahead? For there shall be a performance of those things which were told her of the Lord. Everybody say, when I believe, it unlocks a performance from the Lord of those things which he said. So let's reverse engineer that. So God can tell me something. He can tell me the vision, but it's not unlocked until I believe it.
Amen.
Make a side note to that. Say, I got some work to do in that area. That's your side note. Say, I got some work to do in that area because my just hearing it has not catapulted me into believing it yet. But faith does come by hearing. So sometime I got to hear it. Then I got to hear it again.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Then I got to wake up in the middle of the night and go back and hear it again.
Amen.
Amen. And then I got to start saying what I heard.
Amen.
Then I might have to call in some witnesses to confirm what I heard. Hey, did you hear this? Or tell me your testimony again. Mm-hmm. Everybody say, that helps me in my believing. Because I got to get to where I believe. That I accepted, watch this, a simple fact or truth more so, truth that it is, even though I can't see it. In the natural. But I got to the place where I see it. Amen. In the spirit. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. I think you need to put some explanation marks by your note and say, yeah, just really got some work to do in that area. Amen. How many want to see God perform? How many want to see him perform what he said? See, this was a question, or Brother Everett, that stirred in my spirit that got me searching. Because I grew up in church. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
Sunday school, all the way up. And God's hand was on my life at a young age, but I was there in church. But then I was starting to read the word, and I was saying, there's a whole lot of stuff in here that I don't see in there. There being the church or there being our life. I said, there's got to be a disconnect here. Because God didn't promise a whole lot of stuff, but I'm not seeing the promises. Then I read that he didn't lie, so I knew the problem wasn't with him. Oh, come on, talk to me here. You got to get some foundational truth in there. So I knew the problem wasn't with him, so I had to start making adjustments and figured out how he worked. So I can work with him. How many want to know how to work with him? Because here's what he said. Keep your hands up for a moment. Here's what he said. I don't change because your hair is long. I didn't mean to leave out all the short-haired people, but I don't change because your hair is short or twisted or have no hair at all. I'm just helping you. That's our key verse for the day. Everybody say, I'm blessed because I believe and I shall see the wonders of the Lord in my life. Watch this. Let's go a little bit deeper. Matthew 4:17, it says this, and I'm just bringing this in just to you understand this when we get into redemptive vision and what that's about. Matthew 4:17 says, and from that time Jesus began to preach. Now let's watch what he preached and said, repent. Everybody say repent. And I really would love to do a lot of work inside of this word repent, because we got the wrong impression. When we hear the word repent, we let tears start swelling in our eyes, amen, snot bubbles coming out of our nose, and then we want to go lay on the altar and tell God how sorry we are. That's not repentance. That has absolutely nothing to do with repentance. And some of us know, we have said sorry, crying, boo-hoo, shaking, and the whole nine thing, lying the whole time. Oh, y'all. I'm just going to be real with it. You know, you were looking at them, I'm sorry. You know, I never do it. Your second one is already in motion. Okay. Am I starting off too rough? Y'all give me a signal, because I thought we were in a new year. Come on now. And that's why we get the phrase, you lying out of your teeth. Okay. So let's go back to work. So they had nothing to do with repentance. Come on, I want you to get a whole fresh new understanding of what repentance is about. This is repentance. All repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of mind. I thought this way, truth came, so I don't think that way no more, I think this way. Okay, let's break it down where you can get it. How many of you you went into a conversation thinking a certain way? They put the evidence on the table. They talk to you about it. And you say, okay. I see now. You just repented. You didn't have to say the word, I repent. You just changed your mind. God ain't looking for the word repent out of your mouth. He's looking for a changed mind. He ain't looking for your snot. He's looking for a changed mind. How's your neighbor say, stop wasting the tissue. Oh, God. You see, we got a box on every row, you know. He said, repent. Well, I said, change your mind from what you're thinking this been all about. Because you've been thinking it's about religious activities, traditions of men. It's not about that. It's about the kingdom mandate. He said, repent. And then he began to preach the kingdom. Wow. You got to give God some praise on that right there. Let me help you a little bit more on this word repentance. Watch Paul, who was for Saul, repent. Saul, I have a lot of time to deal with it, but Saul was a scholar theologian. He sat at the master's feet. If he was in modern day, he would have degrees on top of degrees. Oh, you hear what I'm saying? He was top of his class. He knew it. Cover to cover, forward and back, could break it down, all of it. All the prophets, all the law, all was Solomon's writing, David's writing, all of that, knew all of it. And then he, by his own accord, he said, I kept a pretty good, pretty clean life. But when he ran into Jesus, oh, come on, talk to me. Now his first mindset had him killing the kingdom. Yeah. Oh, I wish I had some people that repent here. Because if you repent, you'll stop killing the co-worker. Because God didn't kill you to kill him. Okay. He didn't send you to kill him. Watch it. So that's what Saul was after. And he was, I mean, whatever Saul was into, he was all the way in it. He had both feet in it. Amen. You're safe today. I'm going to love you. I ain't going to compare you. But watch that. So he was doing this, and then he ran into Jesus. And Jesus just came and just, I mean, this boy was so out there. I mean, Jesus said, I'm going to have to go down here and talk to this guy. So he shows up to Saul in his life, and he says, why are you persecuting me? And Saul looked back at Jesus and said, who are you? I thought you were serving him. Y'all ain't caught it. Yeah. I thought you studied him. I thought you knew him from Genesis to Malachi. But you don't even know who he is when he showed up. You got all those degrees, but you don't even know him. So he said, I'm Jesus. Who are you persecuting? Because, see, God takes it personal when the enemy mess with you. Oh, you ought to throw your hands up on that. See, if you believe that, you would unlock the performance of that in your life. Oh, glory be to God. Amen. Because both of y'all ain't going to be fighting at the same time. That's why he told Peter, put your sword up now, Peter. Now, if you're going to live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Or are you going to trust me? Whew. Getting too deep. All right, let's go. So Saul says. So watch this. Later on in his writings, this is how he repented. He said, everything I learned, all those degrees that I got, sitting at the master's feet, I take all that stuff and I count it as dung. Throw it away. Because I found out it's all about him. Oh, come on, give the name. Come on, son. Everybody say it's about the kingdom. So I just want to bring that in, that Jesus preached the kingdom. Amen. Glory be to God. Luke 16 and 16, the last key verse, and we ended there. It says, from the law and the prophets were until John. In other words, they were preached unto John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man pressed into it. And we even find Paul writing, he said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody say release.
Release.
And embrace.
And embrace.
Key spiritual principle you must get in your life that also has impact in your natural life. Has anybody ever spent a Saturday afternoon cleaning out the garage or room or the storeroom? Anybody? Come on. Anybody? That's after giving up that whole day of laboring and you know, you get it all cleaned out, you step back and look at it, you get your feel good on because it looks good. Right? And for a couple of seconds, say, I'm going to keep it like this. This looks good. I can get my car in without stepping over a whole lot of stuff. But then you had no vision, no plan for that space. And it was like somebody sent out a news bulletin. Empty space. So every time laziness showed up or tiredness showed up in your life, make it a little better. Tiredness showed up in your life. I'm helping. I got a watcher and they're trying to keep me on track. I'm working with it. So every time you get a little tired, you know, tired says, just put it there. That clean space. Just put it there. Whew, good God. See, we went through release. So we got rid of a lot of stuff. I'm going to show it to you in a minute. Everybody say we got rid of that. So every time your flesh gets tired, the enemy said, no, just put something right here. Let's get to it. Joshua 3 and 5. This is where we got our release from. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, or in other words, separate, make holy unto the Lord. For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So the precursor to God doing wonders among me was for me letting go of some things. Notice what he told Abraham. He said, Abraham, get up and leave your country, leave your family, amen, and I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to do some wonders in your life. Abraham kind of obeyed. Look at the kind of obeying person next to you. Say, he said, kind of obey. Now tell him, say, Abraham was kind of like me. Sometimes I kind of obey. Where my mother's at? I need to talk to some mothers because some kids about to come in there. I kind of swept the floor. I kind of took out the trash. I took the trash out, but I didn't put a new liner back in there. It's okay. So Abraham kind of obeyed. He left the country, left his father and them, but he held on a lot. So God got to get to a point of releasing what we've been holding on to. Oh, come on, talk to me here. Everybody say, I did get saved, but I was holding on to some stuff. And now God is coming to talk to me about the stuff I've been holding on to. Because what I'm holding on to has been holding up his performance in my life. So as long as Abraham had Lot, it was holding up Isaac coming into his life. So, Joshua, sanctify yourself for tomorrow and the Lord will do wonders to you. So God took us through a release. Everybody say a release.
A release.
Now, release as a partner. And I'm going to show it to you in Matthew 12:44, and it's called Embrace. And here's what happened based upon this principle. So now in this story, in this set of scripture, a spirit has been cast out of a person, okay, or in other words, they have had a release from some evil or darkness or things that they shouldn't be into in their life. Everybody say, I got rid of that. Okay, what's that? So the Spirit says, now this is what the Spirit said. This is what backbiting says after you put it on the cross last Sunday. You know, I put my back, you know, we wrote it on a little sticky notes for those of y'all weren't there. We came and stuck them on the cross and said, God, we releasing this. We ain't carrying this over into 2020. We're going to let that go. Amen. Throw your hands up and say, I let some stuff go. Now, without putting a name on it, all the stuff you let go, amen, had a conference. And all of them saying, you know, I'm going to try home again. Because I had a good home. I can roll over in the midnight and home would embrace me. So the Spirit says, I will go back to the house, the person I left. Because they all had a conference. They said, well, I ain't got nothing for you. Well, I'm going back to the house I left. What you get rid of always wants to come back. Now, I should have a whole lot of amens right about, y'all fronting on me. No, what you get rid of, I always want to come back. Somebody, I need to tweet that, amen. Okay, she gave me the look, so I'm going to just. I ain't going to go no deeper. Couldn't treat you right. I guess I'm going deeper.
Talk.
Why they had you, now they want to come back.
Truly.
And see, here's what you got to be able to say. House ain't empty no more. Okay. Okay. Now you got to know how to interpret that one. Let's go. Because you don't want to fill it with anything.
Amen.
Don't trade in one broke for another version of broke. You don't want to just fill it with anything. Because vision is about redemptive. Getting back what God initially intended. Let's see it together. When the Spirit comes back, it finds the house still empty. They didn't put me out. And ain't nobody moved in my room. They must be waiting on me. This is going to be so good. Well, that's what they see.
Right.
Even in the natural, they see that. You're sitting over there in Starbucks all crying in your coffee. Oh, they must be waiting on me. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor. Next time they're going to see me, they're going to see me moving forward. They're going to see me having I wish I had somebody want to preach with me today. They're going to see me being about it. Glory be to God. He said, watch this now. Now, still, everybody say, still empty. Watch this. Swept clean. I'm so glad they cleaned up. Oh, Lord. Swept clean. Made neat. Put in order. Fixed up. And all of that's good, but it's empty. Clean the garage out. Swept it clean. Get it all neat. But it's empty. Now, I might not get this point, because this is a little off point. Get this point. I might not have anything natural to put in it right now, but I should fill it with vision. How many remember that show on TV when that guy he took some tape, put it on the carpet, and made his office space? I don't know that show.
Anyway,
it was not one of our kind of shows anyway. But anyway, he put some tape. It sound ghetto though. But anyway, he put some tape on the ground and he marked off his office, and he had a door part there, so you couldn't come in through the wall. You had to come in through the space. Now, it sounds funny, but a believer will mark off territory. Woo, glory be to God. It ain't there yet, but oh, to me, it's just as real. Oh, I should have some help. Car ain't in there yet, but it's just as real. Let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. Y'all getting blessed? So the release embrace says, I'm going to release something, but then I'm going to embrace something else. Yeah. I'm never going to stay empty. Throw your hands up and say, I'm not going to stay empty. Empty is dangerous. Empty wagons make a lot of noise, as they say. Amen. So I'm not going to stay, watch this, empty. Watch this. Colossians 3, he said, lie not one to another, seeing you have, watch this, put off the old man with his deeds. So everybody say, I put off the old man with his deeds. With the knowing those deeds want to come back. But I got something for the deeds. When they come back, their space will be occupied. Can I go deep? See, it ain't enough just, where my couples at? Can I talk to the couple? It ain't enough for the interference to go out. The space got to be refilled with love. Oh, y'all ain't going to like me this year, so I might as well get ready for it. Yeah, no. See, if I put the interference out and don't put the love in, interference is going to come back. And it might have seven more rolling with them. I wish it not going. So tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you did part of it. Do the other part. See, if you don't do the other part, then you're going to be stuck in repeat. Okay. How many has fixed something more than once? That's because you didn't fix it all the way. You did part of it. Let's see if we can bring this together. Because, see, you still think you're wrestling against that 98.5-degree person sitting next to you. But that's not what the Word says. The Scripture says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So I can take the face off of it, take the name off of it, because that ain't what I'm wrestling against. I'm wrestling against a spirit that when I get rid of it, it's going to go have a conference and come back. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you ready for the Spirit's comeback? Okay. Everybody say, I put off the old man with his deeds, but I can't stop there. Watch verse 10. And have put on the new man. See, I take off the old man, but I put on the new man. Amen. Seeing, okay, watch this. Put on the new man. Watch this. The new man, which is renewed in the knowledge of the image of him that created him. In other words, the new man is renewed in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who created him. Amen? So everybody say, I'm putting that on. I'm going to repent. I take off and I put on. Say it with me. I take off. And I put on. See, it's not enough. I don't know why am I in here? I guess I gotta deal with this. It ain't enough for you to stop cussing at me. That's a good start place. But that ain't enough. What you gonna replace those words with? Let the church say,
amen.
Let the church say,
amen.
Let the church say,
amen.
Okay. Think you got it. Watch that. Put on, therefore, as elect of God. Now, pay attention to these. We got to move through these quickly. Put on that, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. Everybody say, I'm going to put on bowels of mercy. I could have been an unmerciful person. You know, some of y'all, some of us, we just, I always like to include myself. Some of us, we just like to call people on the carpet for everything.
Right.
Why wouldn't you say that to one that do, don't never say amen? They let the other folks say amen for them. Amen. Ain't seen anything on that. You know you call people on everything. Okay, that's it. But everybody say, but I'm going to
put on mercy now.
Because mercy is a kingdom thing. Now don't let God get you to the place to have respect for that through revelation. In other words, you would need mercy.
Amen.
To start appreciating mercy.
Amen.
Yeah, okay. God ain't going to let me tiptoe to the tulip on that. See, some of us not saying amen on the mercy. That's because you ain't really been up against it. Where you really, baby, I need some mercy right now. Because my child is guilty as all get out. Ain't even no question about it.
Amen.
But he's still my child.
Amen.
And I need some mercy right now. Come on, I'm going to preach here. You ain't going to sit on me today.
Y'all
act like they ain't never did nothing that y'all needed mercy for.
Amen. No.
Where they ship y'all in from, Mars? I've been living on the planet for 60 years. There's been a lot of situations where I needed some mercy.
Amen.
Am I by myself?
No.
I'm checking the room out because I got some. They must have came out the womb speaking in tongues. You scared me. I need some mercy. After I got saved, I needed some mercy.
That's right.
Hello, God. I need some mercy. Don't let the saints find this out, please, Jesus. Save me. Put this in the growth column.
Thank you, God.
It's always good to be real. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, we all growing. Say, come on, be real in 2020. Watch it. I got to move quickly. Bowels of mercy. Everybody say kindness. Don't cost you nothing to be kind. Kindness. It wasn't your kindness that cost you. It was your lack of boundaries
that
cost you.
That's right.
Don't get it confused.
Yeah, right.
So some of you shut down your kindness. I ain't going to be kind. Every time I be kind to somebody, they take advantage of me. That's not the problem. The problem is your self-esteem won't let you say no. Oh, I'm coming straight today. So I need to know, find the word. And God has a word. He said he heals the broken heart. I need my heart healed so I can say no and still know I'm accepted in the beloved. I feel like preaching here today. Amen. Everybody say humbleness of mind.
Yeah.
Get all that high haughtiness out your mind. Everybody say meekness.
Meekness.
Which is not weakness.
Right.
Meekness is strength.
Yes.
Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength. Amen. And there's some times that you really need to be strong.
Right.
You need to be strong enough to say, I'm not doing that. You need to be strong enough to say, I'm not participating in this conversation. Well, you think you are that. Well, I think I'm better than that. I'm not participating in this conversation. Now, if you're talking about her to me, you probably talk about me to somebody else. So we got to work this thing out. And that's me being me. Here's another one. Long-suffering. That clears the church out because they don't understand it. Because you don't understand long-suffering. Long-suffering. He's a God that has long-suffering. How long have you been dealing with you? Okay. See, I like my brother over here because he's real. How long you been dealing with you? Everybody say a long time. Not over new stuff.
Right.
We ain't talking about no new stuff. Some of this stuff you can be traced back to the playground in grade school.
Yes.
Throw your hands up, say, I release it in Jesus' name. I just release it in Jesus' name. Release that. Release that. I was talking back to the teacher under my breath in second grade. I was just telling me to sit down. You ain't the boss of me.
Oh, my.
Ooh. 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 This came out rebellious. Doctor slapped you. You wanted. You just didn't know how to make your hand move. If I could make this hand move, I'd slap you back. But you. That thing was already working. Long suffering is a period that we don't understand, because in long suffering he says, "Let patience have its perfect work." Everybody say perfect work. In other words, it's the part that takes us through the process. Now, you got to get out of your mind of wanting to avoid the process. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm going to embrace the process. I'm not going to skip steps. I'm not going to try to find the fast way. I'm going to go through the process so I won't have to come back this way again. So sometimes that process, there's a little suffering involved in it. How many has learned some things in your suffering? Got your eyes clear. So it was good for you. Okay. Yeah. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. Let's move on with this. Forbearing one another. Everybody say forbearing one another. Forbearing is a churchy word. Let's break it down to our language. Putting up with you. That's what it is. Putting up with you. Putting up with your growth. Forgiving one another. Everybody say forgiving one another.
Forgiving one another.
Now, that's another thing we kind of have to do.
That's right.
Because real forgiveness comes along with it, a partner of called forgetting.
That's right.
And we confess.
You're right.
I'm going to forgive you, but I ain't going to forget it. We confess that we're going to do it the broken way. No, God says, I forgive you and I forget it. He gave us the motto. We confess we're going to hold on to muscle memory. And some of us got it down so packed, we got it down to the day, the hour, and the minute. And the location, what bird was flying overhead, what car was driving by, what we were eating in the restaurant. you have not forgiven. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Everybody say, he forgave me.
He forgave me.
And I'm going to forgive like he forgave.
I
did all that to get to verse 14. And it says, and above all these things. In other words, as great as all those other things were, this what I'm getting ready to tell you right now to put on is above all that. Everybody say it's above all that.
It's above all that.
Put on charity. Or in other words, love. Everybody say put on love. I want you to underline that because I hope we're going to be able to get to it. I don't know where am I, my time. Give me my time. I want you to underline that because, and I want you to write next to that. That is the seat belt of vision. Everybody say, where the seat belt at? It's right here. The seatbelt to vision, the restraint of vision is love. You got to have love because your faith that unlocks God's performance works by this seatbelt. If you don't stay in love, your faith don't work. So when we get to talking about restraint, what he's saying is restraining yourself to stay in a love position. I had this just happen just recently. I had this happen and some business situation and won't go into all the details of it, and you know they misrepresented themselves, and that angered me.
Amen.
Really did. Really angered me. I was ready to call down fire from heaven. Messing with a king's kid here, but I'm gonna go all in. I was really disturbed by it. I said, you know, God, this is something. We ain't going to take this. We're gonna take dominion here. And God said, let me wrestle through it. And what I didn't realize was how much my fear was pushing me.
Wow.
Whew. Wow. This is good. What's it? So my fear was pushing me because I thought I was going to come out. I'm going to come out on the wrong side of this thing.
Right.
Which stirred my anger.
Yeah.
And my anger was stirred because I was really afraid I'm really going to come out on the wrong side of this thing. And I didn't feel too good about that.
Come on.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
And this is how sweet God was to me. He came to me and said, what have I been talking to you about lately? I said, Abba. He said, right, Father. Source. He said, I'm your source.
Amen.
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 I don't care what they take from you. I got more.
Amen. Amen.
I might have brought this out too early. Glory be to God. So what he was doing was talking me down from a fear. Because perfect love cast out all fear. The only way to make that thing move was to tap into his love that he provides for me no matter what. So I didn't have to go after the flesh that I was thought I was warned against. No. My Father provides for me. Oh, you got to throw your hands up. From whence come wars and fighting among us.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. See? So everybody say, I gotta stay in love. So he put the seatbelt on me. Say, stay right here. I got everything you need. And then some. You coming out on top. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, you're coming out on top. Come on, look at somebody else, encourage them, say, you're coming out on top. Let's go home. So let's see this seatbelt. Proverbs 29:18. This best part won't take too long. Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's pretty much how you know that verse out of the King James Version. That's a popular declaration of that verse out of King James. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is he. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. King James Version. Let's look at it in three more different translations and see if we can expand our understanding of this verse. First one, in NIV Version, it says, where there is no revelation. So now we went from vision to being, vision being revelation. Everybody say revelation. In other words, something that is being revealed to us. Peter was hanging out with Jesus for these 3.5 years. He comes and asks him, he said, who do men say that I am? They gave out all kind of answers. Then he turned the question to them. Who do y'all, the 12, say that I am? After they scratched their head, the Father dropped revelation into Jesus and Peter. And Peter spoke up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. To make it clear to us, Jesus said to him, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you. In other words, you didn't get this of your own observation. My Father dropped this in your spirit.
Amen.
Have you ever had something just dropped in your spirit?
Amen.
Everybody say that's revelation.
That's revelation.
Okay. So watch it. Where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. So I went from vision perish to revelation restraint. Are you with me?
Yeah.
King James, where there's no vision, people perish. NIV, where there's no revelation, I cast off restraint. In other words, if I can't see myself getting any better from where I am right now, then I might as well just, as the world say, not y'all, but as the world say, I'm going to go on and live my best life. In other words, that's another word, cold word for saying, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. I might as well drop out of school. It ain't going to get no better. Might as well don't pay the bills. It don't matter. Credit ain't going to never come up anyway. Why treat you right? You don't love me anyway.
Right.
You start casting off all restraints. It's dangerous to be in a car without a seatbelt.
Okay.
So I went from vision. Are y'all getting this?
Yeah.
Perish, revelation, cast off restraint. Let's look at it in the expanded Bible. Where there is no word from God. Okay, so now we went from vision to revelation to now breaking down revelation to being, everybody say, a word from God. Not a word from man, but a word from God. Because going back to our key verse, him that believes, it will be performed to them what was told of them of the Lord. Amen? So everybody say, word. Okay. People, when there's no word from God, vision, prophecy, people are uncontrolled. Somebody just say amen, just for the amen's sake. Just so, you know, just, okay. Squeeze it out, watch this. But those who obey what they have been taught, guard the law, happy and blessed. Now, the Amplified Version. See, I'll just walk you through increasing understanding of a verse.
Amen.
From vision to perish, to revelation to casting off restraint, to a word to being uncontrolled.
Right.
No word, uncontrolled.
Right.
Now let's go deeper. Everybody say deeper.
Deeper.
The Amplified Classic Version, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God. Because the word from God,
amen,
the revelation from God, And the vision from God is all about redeeming. Putting things back to the way he wanted it to be. Let's help the body. Okay, this might not be a run around the room word, but you're going to get something out of that. Let's look at Jesus. He came. The disciples had some trouble with this because they thought he was going to throw the Romans out and just set up camp. But he came to restore and to redeem. And in him was the ministry of reconciliation. All these R-E words or re words, and re means again. Amen? So I can't have an again until I had the first. So tell your neighbor, say, we ain't working on the first. We're working on the again. So I'm watching this. I'm renewing my mind. Why? Because my first mind got lost with Adam. Oh, come on, get this for a moment. Everybody say, now I'm getting it back. So there is, everybody say, a redemptive revelation. Let's break it down to where you live. When we get to you into the personal vision, there's corporate vision, personal vision, all that. We're going to get to that. But let's just, for example's sake, let's get to that. So God wants to, how many of you right now got some, would love to get out of financial hardship. Just like, I want to solve this thing. The reason why you want to solve this thing is because you're never supposed to have that thing. Because it wasn't never that way for you. When God put Adam in the garden, Adam had everything he needed. Because God is Father or Source. It's his responsibility to provide in full for you. But because we lost our mind, we can't see him as that. So now he's bringing us back to that mind, amen, to be reconnected, to trust him for a source. Oh, I can go. See, you got to understand fatherhood. Because Father, everybody say, Father means source.
Father means source.
We'll save the rest for a relationship pillar. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. So watch this.
Amen.
So everybody say, he's bringing me back.
He's bringing me back.
So God, when you start praying to him about your finances, he's just not trying to get you out of a current situation. He's trying to redeem you back to where you're supposed to be in the first place. In other words, God ain't just about trying to pay off a bill.
That's right. You better know that.
He's trying to get you in ruler position.
Amen.
So bills won't rule you.
Amen.
He was trying to get you into lender position.
Amen.
Because that's what you're supposed to be doing. Come on. So it's a, everybody say, it's a redemptive revelation. To redeem our finances back to where God wants them to be. Ooh, I feel like shouting out by myself. High five, somebody say, I'm going to
get it all back.
See, for up to now, you've been shouting about getting it back, but you didn't know what the get back really was. It's not just getting debt free. It's about being back into kingdom position. The finances don't mess with me no more.
No more.
Wouldn't it be awesome you go into your house and we ain't arguing about bills no more?
That's right.
Baby, put on the table what you want. Because
right.
What you put on the table, I'm taking to the Father.
Yes.
Oh, y'all ain't catching me here. I'm going too deep for you. Glory be to God. Because the Father's responsibility, that's why Jesus said, anything you ask in my name, the Father will give it to you.
Amen. Amen.
He ain't giving it to you because your hair is long.
Amen.
He's giving it to you because that's a kingdom principle.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh,
the king takes care of the citizens of the kingdom. We're going to get you there. We're going to get this democracy out of your head, and we're going to get you there. Throw your hands up and say, let me fix my confession. I receive redemptive revelation for every area of my life. Wouldn't you want to redeem parenting? Oh, come on, talk to me here. Come on. Wouldn't you want to redeem relationships? Have the revelation that you know, I'm not in a relationship that's being manipulative and where I'm being manipulated or anything like that, or I'm the one manipulating, but it's just love from heart, flowing from heart to heart. The way he wanted.
Yes.
I'm not in the blame game.
Right.
Ain't in the crazy.
Amen.
Watch this. Let's finish it up. We got to finish it up.
Amen.
So it says, where there's no, watch this. Revelation or no redemptive, everybody say redemptive.
Redemptive.
Revelation.
Revelation.
We cast off restraint. I unbuckle the seatbelt. When you're not working on a redemptive plan of your finances, you just spend money any kind of way. Come on, I'm just putting it where you can grab it. But when you're working on something, when you understand that your grandkids is inside of the purchase you're getting ready to make, you're sort of, no, you don't get my grandkids. You don't get their college money. Because the righteous man leaves an inheritance. Y'all not with me today. For his children's children. Not waiting for somebody else to take care of it. I ain't knocking nobody down. But I'm out to redeem you. And redeem. Oh, come on. See here. Okay, now I'm going to get. Now, y'all shouldn't push back on that because now I'm going to have to get just gone in there. We learn how to take care of ourselves. It's something when you know you ain't got to. When you sitting across the table, say, I'm not saying yes to this till it makes sense to me. And if it don't make sense to me, I ain't saying yes to it. Because you are not my only option. It changes the negotiation altogether. Oh, come on. Come on, give God some praise for this right now. Come on. We got to change the negotiation. Okay. Let's go to the next point. Throw your hands up one more time and say, I receive redemptive revelation. I will walk in restraint or discipline. All God said is, I just need you to believe me, and I'm going to perform it for you. See, your belief is just not a mental thing. Oh, I believe. No, it's in my actions. What if today you made this one change and said, I'm not letting this dollar out of my hand till I figure out how it's going to come back to me twice. Y'all didn't catch what I said. So he ends up saying, everything that goes out of my hands should multiply. Redemptive revelation vision. Let's go. Last set of verses. We'll pick up some more as we go through this month. Habakkuk 2 and 2. Y'all getting blessed?
Amen.
Last part. And the Lord answered me and said, here's some things you got to do with vision. Write the vision. Everybody say, write the vision.
Write the vision.
Engrave it.
Engrave it.
So plainly. Up on tablets. That. Everyone. Who passes. May. Be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. Let me break this down and we'll be all together done. He says, write the vision first. Everybody say, write it. There's something that happens when we write it. You might have did this in school a long time ago. We're stored on this end. I'll whisper in her ear, a message, and she's going to tell her, 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 and she's going to tell her. By the time it gets to her, it's a whole different message. But if she write it, I said, if she write it and give it to her, and she read it, and give it to her, and she read it, and give it to her, and she read it, by the time it gets to her, it's going to say the same thing. Everybody say, write it.
Write it.
Write it. Everybody say, I got to get back to writing.
You
ought to be a notepad next to your bed.
Yes.
God whispering something, write it.
Amen.
Write it. And please write it. He's not obligated to repeat himself.
That's
write it.
Right.
You'll let $1 million idea slip away from you from the kingdom of God. And you say, no, what did you tell me? Last boy who despised the blessing, the scripture said he couldn't even find repentance. He just traded it for a bowl of soup. Look at your neighbor and say, really? Really? I'll get back to you, God. Really? You got DVR now. You can record that thing. Really?
Come on.
Okay.
Come on.
No. When he's talking, everybody say, write it. What's it? Then it's how we write it. Everybody say, big font letters.
Big font letters.
In other words, God says, I want you to write it. Very plainly. Everybody say plainly.
Plainly.
Awesome. Now, we're going to transition into this. I want you to catch this.
Yeah.
Dealing with vision. First thing everybody say, I got to do is write it. Then I got to
write it plainly.
And then I must position it. That I can see it clearly. Watch this. As I pass by. So writing your vision and then taking the notebook you got the vision written in and putting it in the attic is not a good thing. Don't fall in love with your house being so tidy clean that you can't slap your vision up against your bedroom mirror. Because that will get you a new house. A clean mirror is only going to get you a clean mirror. Everybody say, I got to write this. And then I must position it. That I keep seeing it. Now, this is important. Last part. We almost done. He says, write it plainly upon time that everyone who passes may be able to read it. As he hastens by. So the vision is for people who are in motion. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, are you in motion with redemptive revelation? In other words, a vision plan of getting out of debt is no good to somebody who ain't even working on it. Amen. It don't matter how clear it is. They ain't even going that way. So a lot of people gonna get there and say, "Well, you never told me." No, you never. I did. I wrote it, but you never was going that way. Everybody say,
I'm all about
redeeming everything in my life. Anybody tired of dealing with broke stuff? Let me tell you what. If you're not dealing with the redemptive revelation of God, you're dealing with broke stuff.
That's real.
Okay. Now I got to help you because y'all sat on me again. You can be functional with broke stuff. Don't make me go to the parking lot and prove my point. No, baby, you can't get in on that side. You got to get on this side over here. That handle don't work. Car still work. That handle don't work. You let the seat back. No, baby, no. You be laying down. No. Move my seat. Amen. You ain't got Bluetooth? No, I only have AM. Sometimes we get real comfortable with broke stuff. And sometimes we get that way because we try to fix it without redemptive revelation. And the scripture says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end therein is death. So we tried to fix it our way and it got worse. So then we just say, you know what? This is how we're going to do, babe. This going to be my space here. And this going to be your space here. And the two should never meet. Everybody said, not so.
Not so.
When Adam broke it, God said, I got to fix. When Adam broke it, God said, I got the fix. As a matter of fact, I had the fix before Adam broke it. So whatever is broken in your life, God had the fix before you even broke it. Everybody say, the fix is already there. And God is releasing the vision to bring it back. Stand to your feet. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Let's shout a little bit.
You have just heard another life-transforming message from Life by Design Ministries. We would love to hear from you. Please visit our website at www.lbdm.org. And remember, God has a design and purpose for your life.